Welcome to the ministry of Barefoot Church. I'm Clay Neesmith, the pastor here at Barefoot Church. And man, we hope what you experience here today will encourage you, motivate you, and inspire you in a great, great way. Today, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this particular word. And I'm going to be talking about it over the next several weeks, probably throughout the month of January. And I've been studying this word over the last couple of weeks. And it's a word that's found often throughout the Bible. And it's this one particular word you can go home and study if you want to, and concordances and all that kind of stuff, because it's very interesting. And the word is gates. Come on. Gates. Simple word, G-A-T-E-S. All right. And gates have significant meaning. They have importance throughout the scripture, but oftentimes gates are used as metaphors in the scripture to communicate something significant to us about our lives. And Jesus used this metaphor of gates often. And today we're going to look at one of those metaphors he used in Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to talk about it a little bit. So if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 20. Now, I grew up on a farm in South Georgia, and we oftentimes had the responsibility to either open the gate or close the gate. And it was really important, because we'd oftentimes close a gate when you didn't want something to get out of a particular pen, or you wanted to keep someone else out from going in a particular area. And then you would open the gate to basically have an opportunity to go in somewhere, or have the opportunity to move on to something. So gates oftentimes, when they're open, give us opportunity, but whenever they're closed, they shut things down. Now, again, I grew up and we would often open the gates at a cattle pen or something like that, or close the gate behind us. And if we didn't, the cows would get out, and that could cause great problems on the roads or in the community. And somebody may hit your cow. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever hit a cow before, but that's not a good day. We would oftentimes have hunting property. And we would have to open the gate in order to have the opportunity to go into the property and hunt certain things. And we would have to close the gate behind us, because if we didn't, there were a lot of people that tried to sneak in and hunt on your property. And, you know, where I come from, we call them poachers, all right? And if you were one of those people who tried to sneak in and hunt on properties, we had a little trick for you. We had a little gate that we made on our own that would stop you in your tracks. And what we would do is we would fill up a board with these long nails, and we would lay it under the dirt whenever you came through the gate in your big truck to go hunting. You wouldn't only get one flat tire, but you would get four flat tires. Come on. And it would stop you in your tracks. And then, you know what, we could fine you and do what was necessary in order to remove you from the property. But I was thinking a lot about that today. And, you know, what the enemy wants in your life and my life and everyone else's life is for us to be stalemated and not advance with our life, not progress with our life, not step into the opportunity that God has for our life. So the enemy puts barriers or gates in the way to hold us back. But Jesus has come to basically open the gate of opportunity for us to walk in freedom and be exactly who he has designed us to be. But oftentimes people stay closed off in darkness, let's call it today, or they don't step into the opportunity because they haven't learned how to step through the gates that Jesus has offered. But what Jesus says we are to be, if we have been called out of darkness into the wonderful light of knowing Jesus as our leader and our Savior, we are to basically be people to help people come out of darkness into that wonderful light. In other words, step into opportunity. And Jesus called that the church. The church not being a building, the church being a people. And Jesus says, I'm gonna build a people who basically smash down gates and help other people step in to life. And we're gonna look at this passage where Jesus said it today here in Matthew chapter 16. So let's see what Jesus said. The Bible says this, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, his students, his followers, those who were following his leadership. He asked them, he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered him and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has. And I also say to you that you are a Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I'm gonna build a church, Jesus said. And the gates of Hades, the darkness in the world, can't prevail or win against this church. It can't hold this church back, is what Jesus is saying. He says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he commanded his disciples, these followers, these students at this particular time, he said to them that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Now I find that odd right there. I don't know about you. Because we stand in church today and we communicate, hey, let's go and tell the world that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. But here in this passage, he says that he goes to his followers and he says, don't you tell anybody right now that I'm the Messiah and I am the Christ. Now, again, I invite you to maybe go home, read through that sentence, grab you a few study tools. You can get online. Get you some Bible study tools. They're available to everybody today. It's amazing. And kind of dig into that sentence a little bit and really kind of study a little bit about why Jesus may have told those disciples right here, don't you go tell anybody that I'm the Messiah. And again, I haven't done that fully yet, but I would invite you and me to do that together. But I think I lean into a little bit of what Jesus is saying here. Kind of talk about it some today, and I'm gonna do that. First of all, let's talk a little bit about the passage. The point here is there's some darkness in the world. There's powers of darkness in the world. And what Jesus says is those powers or darkness are evil, and those powers of darkness want to shut things down. But Jesus says, I'm going to raise up a people, a church, that, you know what, that's going to be on offense and not on defense. In other words, I'm going to raise up a people where the defensive strategies of the enemy is to shut things down in people's life. But this church I'm going to build, what they're going to do is play offense and they're going to press through those barriers, those gates. And they're gonna step in and help people that are stuck behind those gates come out of those gates and walk in the fullness of life. Come on, somebody. And so that's our mission. That's what we're here for. That's what we do this for, is to lift up the name of Jesus, what our hope is in, and stand solid on Christ Jesus. He is our King. He is our Messiah. And we don't have to go and tell everybody that he's Messiah. We can begin to show them that he's our Messiah, and they can be led out of darkness into the wonderful light. And so Jesus uses this gate metaphor to communicate a lot here. Now let me kind of talk to you a little bit about that passage too, because he uses two different words in this passage, and they're very similar in meaning, but they're not the same word. He talks to Peter, who steps up and says, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah." And he says to Peter, he calls him Simon Peter, Simon Petros. And this is really important, because Petros means little rock. Not Arkansas, okay? But like a little rock, a little pebble, a little stone. And he says, "Peter, what you just said is amazing." And by the way, this isn't the first place that he named Peter Little Rock. He named him Little Rock in basically John chapter 1, when Peter first had an encounter with his brother Andrew with Jesus, and he says, "You're gonna be Little Rock, you're gonna be Pebble." But then he says, "Little Rock, here's the deal. Based on what you just said about me, I'm the Messiah, the Son of the living God." He says, "I'm gonna build a church on this particular idea, on this rock, based on what you just said." And that word rock there, he says, "I'm gonna build a church based on this truth." And he uses the word Petra, which means boulder, which means something of foundation. So he says, "Hey, Little Rock, you know what? I'm gonna use the kind of faith you just exercised, though it may be little faith, in the right object, the big boulder that I am the Messiah. I am, you know what? The bedrock of this thing." He says, "I'm going to build a church that has that same belief in who I am. And guess what? The gates of Hades will not stand or prevail against this amazing church." So what's foundational for our faith is that Christ Jesus is the bedrock. He's the one that we build our life on. And if we stand firm in that, then we have the opportunity to step in and challenge, you know what, the powers of darkness to release anybody that's held captive behind those gates. And so I like to kind of put it in a language we can understand. What Jesus is saying is the church should spend more time on offense than they do defense. So I got to ask you, why do you stay so defensive? Why do I stay so defensive? Because Jesus says, we're to be a church that's on offense, not defense. Now, there's a place for defense, but what do defenses do? A great example of this is tomorrow night. There's going to be a team that's on defense. They're like the dark powers. It's called the Crimson Tide. And again, the object is for them to stay on defense the majority of the game. And then there's the Georgia Bulldogs, who we want to stay on offense and take up the majority of the plays in the game and score points. And so the defense is positioned to keep opportunity from happening. But the offense has the opportunity to step into the fullness of all the plays and really put points on the board. So the object of the church should be to be more about advancing God's good news and God's kingdom than it is standing in a position always defending it. And I really believe this, that God is big enough to defend himself. But our job is charged by Jesus is to step in and break down barriers and help people that are captivated in darkness to come up out of that and be the amazing people he has created them to be and live life on offense. And so, again, what we want to be is a church that stays on offense. And again, you can really begin to tell this is every time you step in a conversation or you step into a situation or scenario, are you constantly in defensive mode or are you in offensive mode? In other words, are you defending your position on a continual basis? Are you in offense and you're just running the plays trying to help the other person step out of the darkness that is basically holding them back from their potential? And I think it's really important for us to live on offense, because Jesus says there's gonna be these dark powers that are gonna hold people back from their potential. So if we're gonna live on offense, there's a few things I wrote down that we need to take into account and we need to do with our life. And the first one is this, is we have to prepare to play. We have to know in a game, there is a strong defense. And that strong defense isn't just a devil that is standing there trying to hold you back from your potential. No, the devil's like the coach over the evil powers. But the Bible says there's multitudes of dark powers in the world. And we have to stay ready as a church to advance who God is and not let these dark powers hold us back. Listen to how the writer says it in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. He writes it this way. He says a final word. He says, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that, everybody say so that, you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, plural, multitude of rulers, evil rulers and authorities, plural, in the heavenly, in the unseen world, against mighty powers, plural, in this dark world, and against evil spirits, plural, in the heavenly places. He says, therefore, and you know what, church, you need to put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. In other words, get dressed, suit up, and be prepared to play the game. I can tell you right now that the Georgia Bulldogs are not gonna go out and play a good offensive football game tomorrow night if they forget to put their pads on. Because there's a strong defense, and it's called the Crimson Tide. Somebody reminded me earlier, there's only one letter difference between Saban and Satan. Just a little joke, okay? And what I'm trying to say about this is these guys are not gonna go out and play this game and expect to advance and do what they're designed to do on offense without putting on their pads and getting dressed. Because the enemy, there's multitudes of them across, and it's a strong defense. And so what he's saying here is put on the full armor of God, the fullness in your head of where salvation comes from. It's called the helmet of salvation. Put it on. He says, put on the belt of truth about what's really going on here, that you're in a battle. And guess what? Tomorrow morning, you're gonna wake up in a battle. Christianity isn't something you haphazardly show up and, you know, try to play in this game called life and not expect a defensive darkness to come against you. In other words, it's gonna come against you as a Christian, and what the gates are doing is holding people in this place of never seeing their God potential. And so there's a lot of strategies. the devil uses. But we have to put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, our shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. You know, we have to put on all of these variations of things, the shoes of peace. And the Bible listed how in Ephesians chapter 6, but more or less, we got to be prepared to play in the game. I mean, you're not a punter. In other words, you don't show up in the game without your little thigh pads and knee pads in because you're going to get hit. And the reality of it is you need to expect that whenever you're playing in the kingdom of God, that there's going to be darkness. And guess what? That darkness is slick. That darkness works in mysterious ways that you and I can't always understand. And those barriers hold so many people back from their potential. One of the dark strategies is this thing called depression. In other words, is to basically, you know what, be held back because you live in desperation, you live in despair because you can't see past where you are into the future. But the reality of it is this, we all can struggle with that. And I'm not saying it's not a mental illness. I'm not saying that we don't need to basically treat it. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying is it is a strategy of the enemy to hold people back from their God potential. And we have to learn that Christ Jesus is bigger than our circumstance, bigger than our challenge, bigger than the breakup, bigger than today. He is today, tomorrow, forever. He's eternal, and he is the bedrock of our faith. We stand firm on him. I struggle, you struggle, we all struggle, but we are here to help each other, my friend. And here's the reality, we can't live in that place. We can't stay in that place. We can't stay behind that barrier. We have to be motivated to step out of it. We have to be motivated to step into it. How many people are not walking in the fullness of who God says that they are because they feel like they can't go no further because of their present situation, what has happened or what is happening. I'm here to declare to you by faith, there is still more. There's more beyond your circumstance. There's more beyond your challenge. And our faith needs to understand that. The enemy isn't just out making people do bad things. He's a strategist. Did you catch it? And he works through multitudes of powers and authorities. He'll bring sickness into a situation, and he'll use that to defeat you from your purpose. And my friend, you know what? So lots of people say, well, why does God allow people to get sick and all that? Because we live in a broken world. We live in a world that darkness has entered. We live in a world that sin has entered. And what God is doing is God is lifting the veil to show us that there is more. There is more beyond where we are. There's more than this week. There's more than this month. There's more than 2022. There is more for his family to do. And the church is here to begin to motivate people out of these dark spots. Again, if he can hold us as a Christ follower in darkness, he'll do it. If he can keep us from knowing who God is and hold us in darkness, he'll do it. He's a powerful enemy. They are powerful forces. But the Bible says this, greater is he who lives in us than he who lives in the world. What does that mean to you? That means that there is one who has come that is the bedrock of our faith, and he resides in us, and he has given us purpose, and he has given us a potential to charge hell and charge the gates of hell and rescue people and help people out of dark places, my friend. This is what it means. And again, it doesn't mean that everybody that's in a dark place is basically going to the real place called hell. It just means that they're being held back from their God potential. Now, some of them may have never recognized Christ as the bedrock of their faith. And you know what? God wants everybody to recognize, you know what, who he is, and he gives eternal life. But there's many believers that believe it's over. You know, the truth of the matter is when you look at the American church, and Pastor Sean talked about it last week, is in what we call a decline. In other words, it's not increasing. But Jesus says, I'm going to raise up a church that's going to bring people out of darkness into the wonderful light. And so when you look around, and technically there's more churches in America day by day closing their doors, you have to ask the question, what is going on? And the reality of it is this, I really think that the church at large has gotten away from what Jesus said he was going to build. Did you catch it? Jesus said, I'm going to build a church. I'm going to build a people. He's talking about a building with a steeple on top that'll seat 1,000 people. He's talking about the people that's in the buildings. He says, I'm going to build a people that's on mission, lives life on purpose. And no matter what the defensive stance is, whether they throw 30-yard receptions or they grind it out, 1 yard, a half a yard at the time. They stay on offense and they keep pursuing who I have created them to be. And they live on offense, not defense. They do not retreat. They continue to push forward. And their mission is simply to release people out of these dark places into the wonderful light to live life on purpose. That'd be a good place to clap. Come on. See, so we got to learn how to prepare to play the game. This isn't, you know, pickleball. I'm talking about it's coming fast and hard. So what is pickleball? I just learned about pickleball. It's old people play pickleball. It's like a form of tennis. Its ball slows down. In other words, it don't come fast. Like T-ball or something. But we're not playing pickleball. The reality of it is the enemy's coming. He's coming fast and he's coming hard. And we have to continually be prepared to not look for a demon behind every bush. Because some people get caught up in, they're afraid to step on the field. Go, oh my gosh. Are you kidding me? No. It's coming. They play hard. They hit hard. But what we have to do is we have to step in it. And what God's encouraging us to do is not to step off the field. You know what? Like some athletes we know would do. Just pull your pads off in the middle of the game. If you watch TV or football, you know what I'm talking about. The reality of it is this. God's not calling you to do that. God's calling you to step in. God's calling you to be a player. He's uniquely designed you, and you have a purpose and you have a place on the team. And it's not to just pull your pads off and quit anytime you want to quit. Listen to what the scripture says. We got to learn to play as a team. He says in Romans 12, verse 6, in his grace. God has mercy and God has grace. What is mercy? Mercy is, you know what, God has compassion on me for where I am. But you know what? What is grace? Grace means God empowers me to step out of it. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. It's the empowerment of God in your life. And the Bible says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. What does that tell me? God has an expectation. The grace gift that he has given you and given me to play on the team, Team Jesus, his expectation is us to take that serious and use the gift and do something well. What is the wellness? It's to help people step out of darkness into the wonderful light. In other words, God has an expectation for me to show up and play every single time. Every single down, every single play. And again, so if we're gonna be Team Jesus and really really work hard and advance God's kingdom and be this church that Jesus is building. You know what? We have to understand that the enemy is putting up barriers. He's putting up gates. The dark powers want to hold back what God is doing. But God is so marvelously, wonderfully intelligent, smart, and graceful. He says, no, 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 that will not happen because I'm going to build a church that I'm going to give diverse gifts to. And when people learn to submit to my authority and use those gifts I have given them, guess what? The enemy don't have a chance. In other words, what God has done is set the enemy of your soul and my soul back on his heels. He is in defensive mode, my friend. And he hates it when you get a taste of who God is, what foundation your life is built on, and learn your position and play it well. And show up every single time. You want to know how the gates of hell are going to be completely penetrated? This doesn't mean that the church is sitting here trying to protect the people from the gates of hell. No, this means the church is on the offense and we're penetrating these dark places and helping bring people out that are stalemated by all kinds of things. Poverty. They're stalemated by their condition. They're stalemated by relationships. They're stalemated by missed opportunities. And what Jesus says is the church is to step into that and do amazing things. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It says, let us think of ways. I love this. Let us think of ways to motivate one another on towards acts of love and good works. In other words, he doesn't say, do love and good works so you can be a part of God's family. No, Jesus has already done that work. That's what he did on the cross. That's what he did through his resurrection. He showed the enemy that the enemy can't hold you back or hold me back. And our belief in this rock, in this Petra, you know what? And we stand solid on that is the foundation for everything. But then he says, here's the deal. The enemy's a strategist. So what I need you to do is think together of how to reach into darkness with love and good works and help motivate each other to do it. Come on, to be a part of it. And again, we're not working for God. We're working with God. He's our grand coach. We understand the playing field of life. We understand the obstacles that we're all up against. And what we're striving to do is work together, motivate each other to do something with the gifts we have and to be creative in how we show love and hope and, you know what, a faith to people who are stuck in darkness. See, the enemy, his strategy is to make you feel. Feelings are deceptive. The enemy makes you want to feel like you have no more opportunity. The enemy makes you feel like, you know what, you should just be ridden constantly with shame. You should be ridden constantly with guilt. The enemy constantly makes you go back and continue to look backwards at the past and the present. But God is the only one that will speak into your life by faith about the future and what is out in front of you and what is ahead of you and what is eternal and you know what God is and what you are. God is the only one that will speak about the future. The enemy will always remind you of the past and your present condition. He will stalemate you. You got to think differently, think futuristic in order to step out of those places. How many people today would say, well, I'm just not going to go to church. Obviously not you, because you're here. But I'm not going to go to church because I got hurt in the past. But you know what? I could have made a decision not to play on a winning team in sports because of an injury. I mean, I got hurt a couple of times on the football field. But guess what? I got over my injury because my injury wasn't going to help my potential. And I learned to step into my future and get back on the field and play. And I had to learn how to get over what had happened in the past. And guess what? It was a mind game. What I mean by that is I used to play with something my coach used to call reckless abandonment when I played football. He's like, you the strappiness. I was 6'6", 195 pounds. That ain't real thick. But I played with reckless abandonment. What I mean is I would charge. And I got hurt. My knee got blew out. I charged one time a little bit too hard, went over a pile. And I was putting some things into my body to help me over pain at that particular time. And guess what? My knee got blew out. And it took months to rehab. But more than the rehab of my knee, it took probably 2 years for it to get out of my head. And the reason is because I was like, if I do that again, that's going to happen again. And my friend, what I'm inviting you in, the enemy works in your life that same way. The enemy will continue to remind you, well, you know what? Again, yes, we're to learn from our past. But my friends, we are not to let that hold us back from our potential. We got to get involved with what God's doing, step into it, and do something with the gifts that God has given us. And we have to do it and do it well. So we have to suit up. We have to get ready. We have to play on the team. We have to understand the mission. And lastly, I wrote this, is, you know, we have to continue to be a people who don't let the enemy close the gate on people's life. Man, it breaks my heart. If your heart is not broken over people who continually live in darkness, and my friend, I don't mean that they're bad people. I just mean they can't get past where they are. If your heart doesn't break that and say, God has a future for you, my friend. He came to swing the gate wide open. And I know it hurts. I know what happened hurts. I know it's painful. And I have compassion on that. But I don't mean it in any mean way, any bad way. God expects you to understand who he is and he has potential for you. And I'm inviting you to step out of that. Let's stop talking about what used to be and let's start talking about what God has in store for you. And my friend, I believe when we start speaking into the future of what God has spoken into the church, and we start speaking into the life that he can do through us together, everything can begin to shift and everything can begin to change. Again, God's not asking you to, you know, be over here upset one day and jump over here and be extra happy the next day. What God's doing is he's looking for progress. He's looking for some people that say, man, I want to reach down and just help you make some progress. Let's keep making yardage. Let's keep heading towards the end zone. Let's keep trusting Jesus, our grand authority, the one that's over our life. He's going to get us there. We're going to get there. Listen to what it says in John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Jesus said this, look, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come in, go freely, and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. He says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. What that means is, my friend, once you allow Jesus to open the gate, you have the opportunity to go in, come out freely. You no longer have to stay where the enemy wants to keep you. He came to give you a rich and satisfying life. That doesn't mean that it's always going to be hunky-dory, but what that does mean is your life is built on a bedrock faith, solid faith, a big faith. You're a little pebble. You're a Peter. You're a little stone. that you're building your life on the chief cornerstone that Jesus was called in the scripture, the one who guides and directs your life. And because of that, you can live life on purpose and you can swing the gate wide for other people who are living in darkness. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing, amazing God. God, I thank you that the gates and the powers of darkness cannot hold back your church, your people. God, I thank you for partnering me up with some incredible people, an incredible church. God, I pray that we would help each other out of dark moments. We'd help each other see the God potential through Christ Jesus. We would help each other, that we would continue to motivate one another on towards the works and good deeds that God has called us to do in order to shine your amazing light into the world. That God, we would do our part. We would be a part of a team. And God, we would see you do the supernatural things that only you can do. God, you're not asking us to do it alone. You said that we are your partners. And God, because we are your partners, we believe you go before us. And God, we believe that you open the door for opportunity for us to speak into people's life. So God, we invite you today to go before us in the circumstances, in the situations, in the dark moments. And God, give us wisdom to speak in to the opportunities we have to lift other people up so that we can move forward by faith in Christ Jesus. We pray all of this in his precious name. And all God's people said, amen.
We hope you were encouraged, motivated, and inspired today by the message. And again, man, we believe in you. We believe great things for you. It's because of many people's faithful giving that we're able to go out around the world. If you choose to invest in Barefoot Church, just go on over to barefootchurch.com. You can give there. But go out, live your purpose, and be inspired in a great, great way.